Welcome to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and we're here to say don't you worry through stories, encouragement, and joy. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's conversation. Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't You Worry podcast. It's your favorite host, Briley and Britton, and we are so back. We are ready with a new series today that we're starting. So do you want to tell everybody what our series is today?
Yes. So we're going to have this little mini series on dating. Get your summer love going on.
Oh,
it's going to
yeah.
be so great. And specifically today, we are going to talk about creating biblical standards. So we obviously all have our standards. I know girls do. I don't really know if guys like think about all of the standards that girls do, but yeah. I know they do have standards. So we're going to talk about today how we can some of the standards that we've come up with from passages in scripture, because mm-hmm. that's where we need to be finding our information. And this can be so helpful when you're looking for a godly man or a godly woman and looking for that in yourself.
Yeah.
So,
like working on yourself too.
Yes.
And we've talked about this a little bit on a couple of different episodes over mm-hmm. the last year of, you know, you should set your own standards before yourself before you get into a relationship. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing with dating. But in dating or not dating, this is a really good episode full of truths from the scripture. So yes. we took all of the standards.
Because obviously we're not dating.
Yeah, yeah. We took all the standards that are really important and looked into the Bible form.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the qualities of a godly man. So
all
these are qualities straight from scripture. I'm mm-hmm. going to tell you the quality and then we're going to talk about the verse where it's found. So one good quality of a godly man is that they meditate on the word. So in Psalm 1:1-3, it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers."
I love that. And I love how it starts that verse and starts that section with the word blessed.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, this may just be me personally, but I don't really want a guy that's not blessed. I don't want a guy that's cursed by the Lord. I want a man that is being blessed by the Lord because he's meditating on the word and meditating on scripture, and he has that own relationship with God.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Something that I love from that verse specifically, that as I'm reading it this morning, actually, we were mm-hmm. at church this morning, and we were talking about, you know, how a root system, when you see a tree growing, you don't mm-hmm. see the roots underneath. You just see the fruit it produces.
Yeah.
And when it says he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, that means his roots are so deep and the underground, you know, him by himself at
right.
during the day, it's so deep and connected with God that he's yielding fruit in its season, which is the fruit of the Spirit is love,
yeah.
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yes.
So if you see those things in a guy, it's probably because he has this root system that's deeper on his own, not just together, because it's great if you're one-on-one with a guy, mm-hmm. you know, having like a Bible study or whatever. But if he's producing this fruit in your relationship or in his life in general, it's probably because he's meditating on the word day and night, which is what you want.
Yeah. And it's evident. So then you can trust that he is having
right.
his own relationship with the Lord, and that can help grow you
yeah.
further whenever you're in a relationship together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then the second one is self-control is another quality of a godly man, and he's faithful to his woman. So in 1 Timothy 3:2-4, it says, "Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping children submissive. Sorry.
Gosh, where do I even start with that? That's so good. There's so much in there that you have to think about. There's
mm-hmm.
Just that's all so good, and you need to make sure that he's gentle. I like the part that it says
yeah.
he's gentle, but he can also teach well, and like mm-hmm. he's not blind and...
Yeah, I like the part where it says he's not a lover of money, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of just shows he shouldn't be a lover of things of the world. He shouldn't be doing all these things to gain influence.
Right.
He should be loving you, you know, like Jesus
regardless
loves us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's really good. And especially, like, you know, looking long term in marriage, if you're dating in your older years, like if you're in college or, you know, 20s, or if you're our age and you are eventually looking towards marriage, then, you know, it should be, you should look for somebody with these qualities that are going to be there for you in the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the next one is they need to be strong in their faith, which is a pretty obvious one. But this comes from 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. And it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. I love the way that's worded. Act like men.
Act like men. That really honestly can speak to the men better, I feel like. Because if you're calling this big, strong guy like a wussy, then he's going to be like, oh, I need to act like a man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good one. And let all that you do be done in love. So like, yes, be a strong man, but also be loving and be gentle.
Don't be aggressive. Yeah.
And one thing that this goes for guys and girls, but specifically guys in this one, seeking godly friendships. Iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. You should not be, if you're in a relationship with a guy, then you guys shouldn't be your only person. You know, that guy, if he has his own set of friends that are building each other up and, you know, holding each other accountable, even if it's just a couple of guys, it doesn't have to be like, oh, he's the most popular man on the planet. You know, as long as he has some other people, then other people that are rooted in God's word and rooted in the faith, then they are going to build each other up and you're going to see that.
Because I think it's really important how one man sharpens another, iron sharpens iron. And when you think about having a man that has godly friendships, it's think about somebody that, so you want to be surrounded by this man that you're creating these standards for, but what do his friends look like? Because his friends are pouring into him and they're influencing him and being a part of his identity. So then what's that going to, what effect is that going to put on him? Because then that's going to reflect on you.
Yeah.
And so you have to think about who he's surrounding himself with too.
I was about to say, influence is such a big deal, such a big concept,
especially in any
relationship. Yeah. So like who I'm surrounding myself with, you know, my five closest friends, that's who I'm going to end up acting like.
Right.
So look at each of your friends and think, oh, is this really how I want to end up? And if it is, that's great. Then spend more time in investing in them. But if not, then maybe think, okay, this person I should still pour into and love them, but also maybe they don't need to be my closest friend because of the influence they have on me. And in a relationship, a dating relationship, you know, you're influencing each other a lot, especially, you know, from the girl's perspective, even though I've not been in like a serious relationship, I know that the girl's mind is constantly, you know, you're thinking, what does this guy think of me? Do you think he's going to like this outfit? Do you think he's going to, you know, think I'm cute today? Was this weird when I said it over text? You know, it's all of these things that go through the girl's brain. So the influence you have on each other is so strong. You want to make sure you're rooted in God's word and seeking those godly friendships. Another one is the guy should be patient and slow to anger. So this one comes from, I may have been quoting one of those wrong. My bad if I did. The iron sharpens iron one was from Proverbs 27:17. But the next one is patient and slow to anger. And it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of the man does not produce the righteousness of God. James 1:19-20.
Yeah, and I think that's really when it says does not produce the righteousness of God, because if this guy that you're in a relationship with is lashing out on you and abusing you, whether that be with his words or his actions or, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, he has to be able to be patient, and none of us are perfect. Like, we also have to be patient too. Women do, but, and that takes a lot of work, especially with me.
Just depending on the person.
But like, if I'm out of control or whatever, I'm going to need a guy that needs to bring me back and just be like, hey, breathe for a second and be patient with me. And even when I'm imperfect and I'm doing something wrong, then he needs to be able to not get angry at me and lash out. He can have those angry feelings, but he doesn't need to produce that onto me, because that's not going to help me.
Yeah. And I know some people our age maybe aren't thinking too far into the future. If you're like, oh, well, I wouldn't get married for another 10 or 15 years. But a lot of people that listen to this podcast are around that age where they would think towards marriage. And it's so important for the guy, you know, biblically, the guy is the man of the household. He's the leader of the household. He leads you. He should lead his wife well, but he should also lead his kids well. So mm-hmm. you want to make sure that he is in the word and that he is slow to anger, because if he's the one that gets angry, then everybody's going to be angry because they're all looking right. to him. But if he's the one that's gentle and bringing peace, then you're going to have a really strong foundation for, you know, your family in general. Yeah. So those are all the qualities of a yes. guy, a godly man. So girls should look for that kind of man. Yes. And if you are a man, be that kind of man.
Yeah. So
now we have godly woman.
Yes. So I've got five qualities of yes. a good godly woman. So the first one is she is wise and kind. Mm-hmm. It's found in Proverbs 31, kind of sporadic verses. I just picked and chose a few to read off.
Yeah.
But it says, an excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. She does him good and no harm all the days of her life. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I think that is really important for a woman to do that to her husband or her boyfriend or whatever. But I feel like that's also really good for whenever you become a mother, because yeah. you have to make sure that you're pouring wisdom into your kids and be sure that you are. And it says strength and dignity, and mm-hmm. she's laughing. She's joyful, and she has that strong nature, but she's also providing for her family and she's pouring into them.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a good core base mm-hmm. for a woman.
Yeah. Another one that I think is one of the top qualities for our age that I think a lot of girls need to be reminded of is to be modest and have a gentle and calm spirit. Mm-hmm. So it says in 1 Peter 3:3-5, it says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of her hair and putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of a heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting their own husbands.
I think that's so good, because so many times women find their identity subconsciously. They don't mm-hmm. necessarily do it on purpose. They find their identity in how they look on the outside, and it makes them feel good. Even, you know, it's really good to give each other compliments and to build each other up. But if all you ever talk about is, oh, you look cute today, you look cute today, because that's kind of a comfortable thing, mm-hmm. especially with girls our age, we'll just, you know, try to connect with somebody yeah. like that. And that's great if you, you know, like the clothing you're wearing or like the makeup that is you're wearing, whatever it is. But it's so important not to find your identity in how you look, because guys and girls both, your looks will change over the years. Mm-hmm. And it you shouldn't care so much about how people right. look. I know in dating, usually you have a physical attraction to somebody, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you shouldn't be finding all of your identity in the way that you appear to other people.
Because if you're really finding the right godly man, then mm-hmm. he's going to love you for you, and he is going to know your personality before. And I think it when it says the word, keep that hidden, because mm-hmm. that in God's sight is precious. And that really just goes to show you that, like, it's not that you have to be like just showing more parts of your body. You can be modest and keep that hidden away and saved for whenever you are like in marriage and
yeah.
have that a more sacred time.
Yeah. And I think something about the, you know, the way people look and the way that you appear to others that's so important is, yes, you should not find your identity in that, but also the right man will appreciate the way you look, because they'll mm-hmm. see God's beauty in mm-hmm. you. They won't say, oh, you look really hot today. They'll be like, wow, you're so beautiful. And they'll right. see more than just your physical appearance. They'll think you're pretty, but also they'll see, I see how God's working in your life, and this is so beautiful, your spirit, you know. So that's the kind that I think both of us, the kind of woman that we should strive to be. And then the next one comes from Ruth's character, one of our favorite characters in the Bible.
Yeah, in the book of Ruth, Boaz, the man who eventually became her husband, he was attracted to Ruth because of her loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Ruth had to leave. She didn't have to leave, actually, but she left her entire life behind where she lived mm-hmm. to follow her mother-in-law and help her in one of her deepest times of need, Naomi. And the way that I love reading the book of Ruth and seeing how pure Boaz's intentions were.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually reading a specific verse. I'm just kind of paraphrasing this, but it specifically says in the Bible that Boaz saw her personality and her loyalty towards her family member. And that's what he was attracted to. He wasn't attracted to the physical part. And I think that's so cool because Ruth wasn't trying to look for a man. She wasn't showing off to find him. And she would have never found him if she wasn't loyal. So I think that can go both ways of just be loyal. Don't always search for that, but also just follow what God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
Because she was called to follow her mother-in-law and help her. And I think that's so important because she obeyed and then she eventually found a man mm-hmm. who was willing to see her for her inside beauty and her loyalty and her actual like traits and the I don't know what word to say for that, but her qualities. Yeah, you know?
And we've both been reading Demi Tebow's book, A Crown mm-hmm. That Lasts, and I actually read the page today that she talked about Ruth's story. And something so beautiful about her story is that she didn't see the outcome. At the beginning of her story, she had lost her and Naomi had lost everybody else in their family, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Naomi was her mother-in-law, and she decided, Naomi kept telling her, you know, go back to your family, go back. You should go back to where, you know, you came from, and then you don't have to worry about me. I'm getting old. I'll be okay. I'll stay by myself. And she was like, no, I'm going to stay loyal to you. I'm going to stay with you, because she felt like that's where God was calling her. And because she went with her, then years down the road, that's how she found her husband, mm-hmm. her next husband.
Her obedience.
Yeah, yeah. And it's only because of her obedience and trust in God's plan, which goes far beyond just dating. Mm-hmm. But there's so much that we can't see right now. If you had told me 4 years ago, oh, you're going to have a podcast, I'd be like,
what?
Right. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
But so you cannot see anything past that, which can be kind of scary if you can't think of, if you can't see where your outcome is going, mm-hmm. you know, if you can't see the future. But it also, that's how our faith comes in, is where we can't see it, but we trust that God's plan is better mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah. Another one is that a woman is strong in her faith. And mm-hmm. in Psalm 46, verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when her morning dawns. And I think that's a really great verse because it's showing that she's strong in her faith and strong in her relationship with the Lord, that he will then bless her and she will then be, she will have the strength mm-hmm. because it's not that, like, yes, she is putting in the work with her faith and that's how she is becoming stronger and in a deeper relationship with him. And then he's blessing her with the strength. And when the next morning comes, she's ready to face the day.
Yeah.
And I think like every man should want that in a woman, that she's going to be prepared for the day because God is blessing her.
Yeah. And I've heard a lot of different, you know, ways people that have gotten together. But one way that I hear a lot of couples sometimes is they say, I actually wasn't even looking for it, but then it happened. Because mm-hmm. so Madison Pruitt Trout, we talked about one of her books, and her husband and her met actually not trying at all. They were both like, you know, we're not looking for a relationship. But their friends had gotten together and set them up on a date because they were like, I think you guys would really match well. But they both were so content in where they were at spiritually and how they were doing in their own spiritual walk mm-hmm. with God, that then when they got together, it just overflowed. They were like, wow, both of us are so, they saw in each other the beautiful work that God was doing in their life because they were so content where they were at.
And if you notice how we put both the man is strong in his faith and the woman is strong in her faith, you can't have a relationship where it's just one-sided.
Yeah.
You both have to be rooted in God's word and you have to be in a relationship with him on your own individually.
Mm-hmm.
So then whenever you come together, you can share what God is revealing in your life, but also hear from your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And then you can grow closer together through what God is doing inside of you, because it's not like God is doing the same thing in me that he's doing in you mm-hmm. or he's doing in your relationship. He's revealing different things and you're at a different stage of life than maybe mm-hmm. your husband or whatever. And I think that's so important, that you're strong in your own faith and you have trust in your own relationship with God, but you also have trust in theirs.
Yeah. And I know this season is on dating, but also if you are single and you're not at that dating stage yet, or if you are married and past this stage, there's still a lot of seasons of waiting that we encounter. And just like we talked about with Ruth's story, she wasn't looking for it. She wasn't anxiously sitting around waiting, being like, when's the next guy going to come around? She just was so in tune with where God wanted her to be and how he wanted her to live that then he took it from there and she found the love of her life from there. So no matter what season you're in, even if it's not dating at the moment, trust where God's got you at. And if you are in a waiting season, then take advantage of it and just spend time with him and spend time where he wants you to be. So much so to where if you do step into a relationship, then that person is going to see, wow, they are so in tune with God that it just overflows from everything that they do. Hello, everything that they do.
Yeah. And the last quality is just that she's fruitful. And I think like all of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, you know, you named them off earlier, and she's beaming, she's loving, she's gentle, she's got self-control. I need to work on that one. But I think all of these, this is such a good habit. And obviously this is not all of the biblical standards that you can come up with. Try to come up with some on your own, look for it in the scripture. And it's so important to do this and get your standards from the Bible. That is how, I mean, that's how a relationship is going to thrive. And it's so important because looking at this, now I know what I need to be. Mm-hmm. It's not only you're trying to create standards for who you're looking for, because if you think about it, if I actually find a guy one day that has all of these good qualities, then he's going to be a guy that's looking for good qualities in me.
Right.
So he has to hold me accountable and I have to hold myself accountable with these biblical standards. And it's not only in these relationships romantically, even though this is a series about dating, it's not only in those romantic relationships that you need to have these qualities, because if you start practicing these things now, that's going to help your relationships in the future, but it can also help your friendships, and it just helps you to be a better person and be a person that other people strive to be. So maybe if you're at a completely different stage in life than somebody else, maybe a married woman is looking down to you and using you as a role model, thinking, oh, she's using these godly qualities and she's got her young crush and boyfriend or whatever, and they're interested in her because she's got something different. Maybe I can learn from her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important, just to use these in your own life, but also looking for them in other people.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode today as much as we have.
Yes.
Comment what your favorite standards were that we looked at in the scripture, or what else we got, because we would love to hear more from that.
Yes.
And we are so excited to continue this little series.
Yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll see you back next week.